he beat back the authority of the Catholic Church, crowning himself Holy Roman Emperor and ordering his troops to use cathedrals to stable their horses. Napoleon's troops carried with them the Rousseauian bacillus of divinized nationalism. Thus tumbles both the glorious myth of the left and the central indictment of the right, that the French Revolution was a wellspring of rationalism. In fact, it was no such thing. The Revolution was a romantic spiritual revolt, an attempt to replace the Christian God with a Jacobin one. Invocations to reason were thinly veiled appeals to a new personalized God of the Revolution. Robespierre despised atheism and atheists as signs of the moral decay of monarchy, believing instead in an eternal being who intimately affects the destinies of nations and who seems to me personally to watch over the French Revolution in a very special way. For the revolution to be successful, Robespierre had to force the people to recognize this God who spoke through him and the general will. Only in this way could Robespierre realize the dream that would later transfix Nazis, communists, and progressives alike, the creation of new men. I am convinced, he proclaimed in a typical statement, of the necessity of bringing about a complete regeneration and, if I may express myself so, of creating a new people. To this end, he pushed through a law requiring that children be taken from their parents and indoctrinated in boarding schools. The action priests of the revolution, wrote Tocqueville, had a fanatical faith in their vocation, that of transforming the social system, root and branch, and regenerating the whole human race. He later recognized that the French Revolution had become a religious revival, and the ideology that spewed from it a species of religion which, like Islam, has overrun the whole world with apostles, militants, and martyrs. Fascism is indebted to the French Revolution in other ways as well. Robespierre appreciated, as did Sorel and his heirs, that violence was a linchpin that kept the masses committed to the ideals of the revolution. If the spring of popular government in time of peace is virtue, the springs of popular government and revolution are at once virtue and terror, virtue without which terror is fatal, terror without which virtue is powerless. Terror is nothing other than justice, prompt, severe, inflexible. It is therefore an emanation of virtue. It is not so much a special principle as it is a consequence of the general principle of democracy applied to our country's most urgent needs. For the first time in history, writes the historian Marissa Linton, terror became an official government policy, with the stated aim to use violence in order to achieve a higher political goal. The irony seemed lost on the Bolsheviks, self-proclaimed descendants of the French Revolution, who defined fascism rather than their own system as an openly terroristic dictatorship. The utility of terror was multifaceted, but among its chief benefits was its tendency to maintain a permanent sense of crisis. Crisis is routinely identified as a core mechanism of fascism because it short-circuits debate and democratic deliberation.